We've been studying the miracle of the man who had an infirmity for 38 years. It wasn't just any sickness. The infirmity could just be a cold, couldn't it? But this was something very serious, because what he'd done is he didn't have a house, it appears, because when the Lord healed him, he didn't say, go to thy, pick up thy mat, thy bedding, and go to thy house, as he said in John chapter 2 to the paralytic that he healed. So it seems he spent all his time by this pool in Bethesda, which was called the house, as you know, if you were here before. I'm trying to recap, because I know some of you weren't here before, just to put it in context, that this was the house of mercy, called the house of mercy. They built 5 porches for sick people. And a remarkable thing happened here at this place. An angel would come down every season. We're not told whether it was every year, or, you know, for us, we have 4 seasons, don't we? We're not told whether it was once a year or just or a few times a year, but he would come down, he would trouble the waters, he would stir the waters, and the first person who entered the waters after that would be healed, which, if you think about it, is a remarkable thing. It might suggest that water has qualities that we know very little about, and it takes an angel to stir them up and reminds us that we live in a fallen world. We don't know what the full benefits of water were, but we do know that the Lord Jesus, in the chapter before, sitting at the well, offered the woman at the well living waters that would become in her a well springing up unto salvation. So it just gives us perhaps, and I don't know whether this is going too far, an insight into what life was like on earth before the fall. Because of course, there was no sickness, there was no death then, but it seems that it was a very different, it plainly was a very different world to the world that we live in now. So whether this angel was stirring up hidden qualities in the water that were only perhaps experienced, known before the fall, or what it was, we're not told. But what we are told is that the first person in was healed. But this poor man, he stayed there for 38 years and he wasn't healed. People went in before him, people were healed, but he wasn't. And it seemed as though it was hopeless. But another aspect of this is easy to pass by, that here was a miracle that the Lord had left in Israel. So we don't know how long this miracle was available. We don't know whether it was for all those 400 years between Malachi, the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. But it would seem that the Lord had left a marker. Israel is a special place. Miracles will be done again. And to show you that miracles will be done again, here the angel would come and heal once a season. And so it was that they were gathered. This man was again, he hadn't given up. He was hoping that he could somehow get somebody to put him in the water. And so what do we find? Well, the Lord Jesus came up to Jerusalem to go to a feast. And it's a good thing, isn't it, for us to make an effort, not just to attend church. It's a good thing to attend church on the Sabbath. We should attend church on the Sabbath. Hopefully we go there because we want to be there. We want to hear the word of God. We want to join in the worship of God and pray together. But also it's good for us to come together. Other events, we had an enjoyable time yesterday. For those that you were able to come, we missed those of you that weren't, but the point is, we were able to gather together as the people of God, to enjoy fellowship together, to hear briefly from his word at the beginning. And when there are conferences that are put on around the country, I know there's one coming up at the beginning of September, I believe one of our folk is going, about creation. It's good to go, isn't it? To gather together with other believers, not just to please ourselves on our holidays. So the Lord Jesus He went up to Jerusalem. Despite all the opposition, he was not going to stop that from him being in the temple for this feast. We're not told which the feast was, but he was up there. And what was his priority? Was his priority merely to be in the temple? Did he go around to all the holidays, the tourist spots in Jerusalem? Did he go meeting the worthies and the dignitaries, the rulers of Jerusalem? No. Where did he go? He went to this sheep market pool in Bethesda. He went to the House of Mercy. He went on an errand because there was somebody there that he knew he needed to meet. And isn't it good for us to make trips of mercy for ourselves? Wherever we are, if we're on holiday, if there's somebody in need, let's make sure that we do what we can to meet that need. And so he met with this man. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case. Now, how did he know that? We're not told that he asked him, and he told him, indeed, it would appear that the first thing he said to him was, in verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? How did he know these things? He knew these things because he is God. And he knows all things. He knows all about you. And he knows all about me. Do you believe that? Or do you think that somehow you are just a needle in a haystack? You're one person, an insignificant person in a universe that's gone mad. And it's all that matters is, well, me in the end. It's what I do in my life. Is that how you view this world? So easy to, isn't it? I can't really blame you if you do. But it's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that all of us are known to God, that none of us are forgotten by him. The key question is, do you know him? He knows you. But do you know him? Have you turned to him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, here the Lord Jesus asks, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I've got no friend. It's a wonderful thing to have friends. But it's even more important. He talks, this is a healing pool, isn't it? Somebody to take him into the healing pool. And can we spiritualize that? How good it is to have a friend who will take us, encourage us to go to the house of God. Even better if that friend is in our own family. It'll encourage us to be where we will get true healing, spiritual healing. That's what we need more than anything else, isn't it? This man, he could only see his need as physical. He wanted to be made whole physically. Well, friends, this is a picture of something more important. The healing that each one of us needs from the depravity of sin. Because we don't see these miracles today. And even if we did, even if people were healed without having to go to hospital. And occasionally we do hear of miracles and we don't wish to disdain them, of course. But they're not the real miracles, are they? Because that person's still going to die one day. The real miracle is the miracle of the new birth. And when we've got a friend who will take us to that healing pool where we will hear the good news of the gospel, we have found a friend indeed. Well, the Old Testament speaks about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And here the Lord Jesus, he didn't need to help this man into the pool because he only had to say the word as the Son of God, and this man was healed. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So much better than having to be the first into that pool. A word from the Lord Jesus, and he was healed. Immediately, verse 9, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. How wonderful. an immediate healing, all his bones made whole, and again he could walk. Then we read verse 9, and on the same day was the Sabbath. This was one of seven miracles recorded that took place on the Sabbath. It doesn't mean to say that there weren't more, because we know at the end of John's Gospel that the Lord Jesus did many more miracles than are recorded in Scripture. But these were recorded, the ones that John recorded, that were that we might know that Jesus was the Son of God and have faith in his name. As he writes in John chapter 20, the end of John chapter 20. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, you might have thought, as I would think, how wonderful, this man was healed on the Sabbath. What a picture of the wholeness that the Sabbath points to. What a picture of the Sabbath rest for the people of God, a day when we would be in heaven, a day that reminds us of the creation of the world. You think about it. Healing a person on the Sabbath is absolutely in keeping with the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day, as we go back to the book of Exodus, the reason that the Lord rested on the seventh day was because he finished his creation. And in Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment is explained by Moses as being a day, as us observing it, because the Lord created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, and so are we too. So let me just remind us, Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And friends, because he created the world in 6 days, we are to remember the seventh, or in New Testament times, the first day of the week, Sunday. And what better way of remembering it than a person who was who was paralyzed, being, as it were, recreated, being made new. So it was for this man. But the effect on the Jews was disastrous. They wanted, they were furious. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You shouldn't be carrying your bed on the Sabbath. They didn't think to ask, why were you carrying your bed? Verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And of course we read here that, well, the chap didn't know, because the Lord Jesus hadn't told him who he was. And this is a lovely reminder, friends, that we don't choose Christ. Christ chooses us. He didn't heal him because he knew who he was. And friends, he doesn't choose you and me because of anything in us that's any good. He doesn't say, pass this test and you'll come and I'll reveal myself to you. Pass my test and you can call yourself a Christian. No, he chooses us. He revives us, he gives us new life, and then he opens our eyes about who he is. Isn't that incredibly comforting? The Christian life is not down to what you can do for God. It's what he has done for you. And the only reason that you have faith in him is because he's opened your eyes and granted you the gift of faith. What a mighty salvation we have been given. And so we read that Jesus had conveyed himself away. He but just mingled himself with the crowd. The Lord Jesus humbled himself even unto death, the death of the cross. He was not one who drew attention to himself. Of course, he could have done, couldn't he? He could have said, I've just healed that man. And the whole of Jerusalem could have gone after this miracle worker. But that wasn't his spirit, was it? He was the humble carpenter, the son of the carpenter, a man who made himself of no reputation. And yet, that was him in his human nature. And yet he was God as well. Fully God and fully man in one person. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read in verse 14 that afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And it's a reminder to us on the most basic level. Have any of you been sick and been made whole? You've been healed through medicine, possibly through a miracle cure, but normally today through medicine. Have you said on your sick bed, if God heals me, I'll serve him? And then when that time comes, you are healed, but you think, maybe the Lord won't mind if I carry on in my old ways. Or maybe you don't think that at all. Maybe you just forget it. Maybe it was never really your intention to serve him. And once you're healed, you go back to your old ways. So many people do. So many people who have terrible sicknesses, cancer that almost kills them. And they get healed and they go back to being exactly the same person that they were before they became ill. In other words, that illness has had no effect on them whatsoever. Those illnesses that we get from time to time are a warning to each of us that we are mortal. If we go through life with perfect health, it's not terribly helpful for us because we'll think that we're going to go on forever. But none of us do. Any moment, you and I could be struck down, not just with an illness, but with death itself. Because it's appointed unto every man want to die once, and then the judgment. We're all appointed to die unless the Lord Jesus comes back first. That's the only condition in which we won't die. But are we ready for death? Because the Lord Jesus had to warn this man that if he continued to sin, a worse thing would come to him. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. All sickness has its roots in sin. Because without sin, there would be no sickness. No one knows the cause of sicknesses that come upon us in the specifics, but we can say it is due to sin. I can't say it's due to your particular personal sin that you have been struck in this way and another person hasn't. The manifestation of our sinful nature comes in different ways. The consequences of my sin will come out in different ways to you. But we can be absolutely sure, friends, that God will visit our sin upon us if we don't repent of it and turn away from it. And I have to ask each one of us, have we repented of our sins? Are we living lives pleasing to God, or do we slip back into sin? May the Lord deliver us and preserve us in righteous living. Let's learn from this man. The Jews then say, walk, sorry. And the Lord Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who'd made him whole. He discovered who he was. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. They sought to slay him, to kill him, because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. I mean, what wickedness was that? And it is a reminder for us to be careful. We have strong views if we believe the Bible. But let's always make sure that we don't, first of all, that we always correctly interpret the Bible. These Jews had not. They persecuted the Lord Jesus because he'd healed a person on the Sabbath. They believed that that was wrong. And then, worse, we read that they wanted to kill him because he had made himself equal with God. And he'd done that in verse 17 in two ways. He said, my Father worketh hitherto. He said, my Father worketh. Now you could say, well, what's wrong with that? God is all our fathers. But you see, the way he said it was my Father. My Father as distinct from your Father. And you'll remember in John chapter 8, we'll come back to it. We'll come on to it when we get to John chapter 8, that he went on to tell the Jews that their father was the devil because they were in sin, because they did the same things as him. But he said to them, my Father, because the Lord Jesus was peculiarly the Son of the living God. He was the only begotten Son of the living God. He was with God in eternity. There was never a time when the Son was not. There was never a time when he was created, because he is God. God cannot be created. And this is why the Bible speaks of him being begotten. He was brought forth. But he was brought forth in eternity. So he had no beginning, he has no ending, because God has no beginning or ending. So it is an eternal begetting. We can't understand it in our natural minds. But he peculiarly, uniquely was able to call God his Father in a way that none of us could. So that was the first way. But the second way is that he made himself equal with God because he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He's saying, well, I work with my Father. I do what my Father does, making himself equal with God. We might ask yourself, well, how is it that God works on the Sabbath? Is that not a contradiction of the seventh day we read about in Genesis, where on the seventh day God rested from his labors? So why is it that the Lord Jesus is saying on this Sabbath day, well, the Lord God works? Well, have a think about it. Do crops stop growing on Sunday? Does the sun stand in the sky over one part of the earth on Sunday? Does everything stop? No, of course not. Everything continues going. And how is it that the world continues? Well, the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ, all things consist. He's holding the world up. Did you know that? The only reason that the sun is moving in the sky, of course, we know that the earth, in fact, moves around the sun, but it's relatively speaking, it seems as though the sun is moving across the sky. Why is that? It's because the Lord Jesus is holding up the whole earth and everything's continuing. Do you know why you're, I don't know, if you grow seeds, do you plant seeds? I don't know if any of you've got a flower pots at home or an allotment, and you sow seeds and you watch them grow. And why they continue to grow on a Sunday? Because the Lord Jesus continues to give them increase. Remember what Paul said. He said, one, I think he said, one waters and another serveth, but God giveth the increase. One serveth, another watereth, but God giveth the increase. God makes plants to grow 24/7, friends. And so, as I mentioned, in Christ, all things consist. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things hold together. And we read again in Hebrews chapter 1. I expect you're familiar. God hath in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. The Lord Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. So he works with his Father to keep this world going. In all his providences today, have you met somebody today that you weren't expecting, that you were able to share the gospel with? Well, it's because the Lord Jesus continues to watch over this world. Did you wake up this morning? Did the Lord speak to you in his word? He continues to work today, the Lord's day, just as he works every day. And it reminds us, friends, there are works, not just of mercy that we do on the Sabbath, but also of necessity. We have to feed our animals. If you've got a pet, I don't know, a dog, a cat, or a pet, some rabbit, whatever it is, you need to feed that animal. We've got one in the church where we're very pleased to have animals when they behave themselves, as this one does, and most of the time. But that animal needs feeding. You and I need feeding. If you've got children, they need looking after, don't they? But of course, you don't do things that you don't need to do on the Lord's day, but you do necessary things. We've all got to get out of bed and make our beds. We can't say, well, I won't make my bed today because it's Sunday. I don't suppose your mother would be very pleased with you if you did. So there are necessary duties that we have to perform on the Lord's day. So works of mercy we've seen in the healing of this man. Someone, if your ox falls or someone else's ox falls into a ditch, you'll put him out on the Lord's day. Friends, if there's a friend in need on the Lord's day, then you'll help him. But everything else, anything we don't need to do on the Lord's day, we don't do it. Not so we just do nothing and twiddle our thumbs, but so we can give it. Give the day to worshiping the Lord. Give the day to being with the Lord's people. I hope that you and I take the Sabbath day seriously. For the Lord Jesus said, He said, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. At no point can we read in the Bible that he set apart this commandment. It's just as important. The fourth commandment hasn't ceased to exist. And may each one of us discover the pure joy of abiding and observing the Lord's day. So, friends, the Lord Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, what a tragedy that the Jews were so blinded to Christ, so blinded by sin, by their own self-righteousness. They couldn't see who was in front of them. Indeed, they wanted to kill him. Now, it's true that the devil, he considers himself to be, he has placed himself above all and claimed that he is truly God. Let me just find that verse I wanted to Yes, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. And so they were really saying that this is not God, this is Satan. How blind they were and how foolish. Friends, let's learn from the Pharisees. Let's be true to what the Bible actually says. Let's not just take the Bible as they did. They tended to take it the word of the Bible and not the spirit in which the Bible was written. We have to understand both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Yes, we must keep the Lord's Day special, but the spirit of the law is that this day speaks back to creation. It speaks back to our redemption, because we read in Deuteronomy that they were to remember the seventh day because they were rescued from Egypt. Well, we've been rescued from spiritually from Egypt, haven't we? So we must remember what the Lord did on his day. We take the Lord's Supper to remind ourselves of what he did at Calvary. And we look forward to that Sabbath rest will be ours in heaven. May the Lord's Day be to each of us a day of blessed rest and joy as we consider heaven on earth. Consider our future in the context of our past and in the context of the present. May the Lord bless this Lord's Day to each one of us. Amen.